Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number three. I'm Jim Galante. He's Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dusty, we spent the first two segments talking about the Penn State offense, so what else is new, and the struggles of Sean Clifford. Let's move on. I want to talk special teams before we get to defense, and it just seems like some of these things, they just outthink themselves. You know, it's all year long you've had Jordan Stout, your punter, your kickoff guy, and your field goal kicker, okay? And you would hear Franklin say, well, that's a lot on his plate. That's a lot on his plate. Well, now the kid's gotten 4 weeks to rest, and he can't do it for one more game. You bring Jake Pinniger in, not for a short punt, but the first thing you do is you bring him in for a, short field goal. You bring him in for a 50-yard field goal. Is this just a case where they outthought themselves? And it wasn't even close, by the way.
Yeah, no, it wasn't close at all. I took it as, and I don't think we really got an answer to it. I took it as just maybe a stipulation for Jordan Stout kicking in this game was that he wasn't doing all those things. I can't imagine that strategically, unless there was some kind of tweak or issue or whatever from Jordan Stout, which I don't think there was. I don't think you would consciously make that move unless you're really thinking like Jake Pinniger, momentum builder for 2022. I don't know. I mean, my first thought was that, okay, Jordan Stout is playing in this game, but maybe he just didn't want to kick the field goals. I don't know. But there, if it was a strategic thing, I'm not sure if it makes a lot of strategic sense in this one, because you did have Stout lined up to kick one later too, but I don't know. I really don't know. But what I do know is that Jake Pinniger kick never had a chance. And I am pretty sure when the cameras panned over to James Franklin, he said the words "awful kick," and he was speaking the truth. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much success you can expect from a guy who had lost the job and all that. But yeah, just in a number of ways, just a confounding situation on special teams. And by the way, Joe Lorig is expected to go to Oregon too, so you're going to have a fresh start there.
Well, and I'll tell you what, maybe Franklin did say awful kick, but I would not have heard it, be aware of it, because I was watching the game with a crowd and they all said it. So we didn't need to hear it from James Franklin. But thinking about, again, overthinking things, the fake punt with Jordan Stout, it was coming to the end of the half. Penn State had a lead, so they're getting ready to go into halftime with a 10-7 lead. Jordan Stout's been good about punting and trapping the opponent back inside their own 10-yard line. I don't think Arkansas had the type of offense that could go the length of the field. Again, were they just outthinking themselves once more?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's 4th and 13 at the Arkansas 36. I don't think they really had a play drawn up. You know, you're in no man's land there. But I think again, I mean, the same thing when we had this discussion before. I think you either go for it or you don't. I don't think you wanted to kick a field goal there, but at that point in time, it would have been a much higher probability play than doing this. I really think with the down and distance, he was thinking element of surprise. But I don't think anybody was. I mean, clearly Arkansas wasn't caught off guard by that at all. So there was no element of surprise there. The film is out on Penn State. So but again, I mean, you don't have anything to lean on there. Like, that is a tough situation to be in as a coach. But I really feel like lining up and going for it with a play with somebody whose job is to throw the football. Although, you know, Jordan Stout wasn't all that much worse than maybe your other option, but or just let him punt it and make Arkansas drive the length of the field. I mean, I just felt like, and I don't even think this is hindsight being 2020. I just felt like line it up and do what you're going to do. Nobody was fooled by that. And it just ended up looking as silly as they did earlier in the year, the fake punt.
All right, let's now switch over to defense, Dusty. We know the big story was five guys opted out before the game. Tariq Castro Fields, who we've not heard anything from him, he didn't play either. So that's six guys from how the season ended, their starters. If you want, you could throw in P.J. Mustafa missing. If you want to go even further back, Adisa Isaac would be a starting defensive end on this team. With that in mind, eight of the 11 guys you would want on the field when this season started at defense were out. And most of them are out because they are going to be drafted by the NFL come spring. So it's not just a random set of guys. It's the very best players that we're missing. I'll start with that to say I give the defense much more of a pass than I gave the offense. But with that said, this was a team that, and we went back to that inability to tackle again.
Yeah, and I mean, you are talking about a lot of new faces and guys who haven't played, not new faces so much as just inexperienced guys. And but it did end up being sloppier than you'd come to expect. And I think part of that has to do with, you know, the condition that the depth chart was in. But yeah, I mean, everywhere you look, there was a guy who was either young or inexperienced or small, lights, whatever. I mean, this defense was built to be pushed around. And when Arkansas kind of finally decided that that's what they wanted to do and that's what they were committed to doing, they drifted away from that a bit in the second quarter. Sam Pittman at the half said that, or after the game said that there were some things that Penn State was doing that maybe surprised them a little bit, which, you know, you're always pushing for that. But you know, once they decided that we're just going to run it at them until they prove they can stop it, it was the outcome that a lot of us expected. I think you could have started Penn State's, you know, best defense, and if, as long as that version of Arkansas was committed to running it at them, I think they would have had success for the same reason that Illinois had success and the same reason that Wisconsin did. But, you know, in this case, guys were just being driven off the ball, and it just looked like Arkansas blockers were everywhere. And then to your point, there were just too many times where the first guy there just wasn't making the play, and it turned into a bigger play than it should have. But that part of it didn't surprise me that much just because of the number of guys who were in positions that they hadn't been in all year.
Another part of this, and again, who knows if this would have had any effect on the game, going into this game, James Franklin said, yep, there's a good chance they're going to burn a few red shirts. And the thought was that meant Jamari Bowden and Kobe King at linebacker. And it turns out neither one of them played. And after the game, Franklin said that was the player's preference. I'm a little bit surprised by the sequence of events here. I can't imagine, like 1 week before the game, that decision hadn't been made already, that conversation hadn't been had. So it almost feels like Franklin throwing those kids under the bus a little bit by kind of saying, yeah, we'll be burning red shirts, and then not doing it, and said, well, that's what the kids wanted. What's your take on that whole sequence of events?
Well, I mean, I think the same general idea that, you know, did you hear the conversation between Kirk Herbstreit and Desmond Howard about this modern generation? They don't love football. They're not ready to compete. It sounded like a bunch of fuddy-duddies. It sounded like a bunch of Dabo Sweeney types out there lamenting the rise of today's youth and all that. It sounded very dated to me, but this is part of the culture of college football and how it's changing now is that these kids are saying, like, we've hit the threshold of four games. Are we really going to lose an entire year of eligibility just to sub in a pinch in a game that doesn't mean all that much? I mean, it's the same conversation just playing out a different way. And it does seem like, you know, between James Franklin making his intentions known to burn red shirts, I don't think he would have said that if that decision were made, if that conversation were had at that point. So at some point between then and game day, clearly, you know, these two freshmen said, we're not interested in scrapping an entire year of eligibility to play in this game as reserves. You know, they were that maybe they weren't going to be starters and they were going to play 20 snaps. Losing a year of eligibility for 20 snaps, is that really worth it? But, you know, to me, that was the thought for me, is that this was a player empowerment thing that, you know, in this day and age of college football, players are making more and more decisions like this, and you got to wrap your head around it. Would they have won if these guys played? Probably not, but they would have been better reinforced at that linebacker spot, which, you know, had a lot of question mark going into the game, to have these big bodies out there playing, but they chose not to, apparently. And I think Franklin was definitely saying, you know, I wanted to use them. They didn't want that.
Yes, it was obvious that was the statement. But how could this decision have not been made several weeks ago? So were you in the run up to the game? Were you putting these guys? Were you practicing with them as if they were going to play? Did they previously say, yes, coach, we want to play? So practice us, and then in the last minute say, hey, I've changed my mind. And if that's the case, I do have an issue with the players on it, on that. And also, as you said, Kirk Herbstreit's conversation with Desmond Howard, it does seem like, you know, it's an outdated conversation. The world is different. This is the reality of it. And it's hard for me to argue with any player who's made that decision in their own best interest. With that said, Dusty, I still look at it like this is not that number first round draft pick who's destined for millions of dollars. You had people like, you know, is Derek D'Angelo even going to be drafted? You have, you know, the Rose Bowl was Utah, who had never been there before. That was a big game and exciting for them. For Ohio State, it was a letdown from going to the college football playoffs. So you could see the difference in attitude. But, you know, how many New Year's Day bowl games has Arnold Ibikiti been to at Temple? And, you know, so that's why I still question this a little bit, because and to add to it, I think, was seeing Jesse Lucada actually play, then declare for the draft, created that contrast.
Yeah, that was certainly there, and I think there was a lot of Penn State fans who respected the heck out of that decision with all this going down. And he played really well. He played high energy. He played reckless, you know, with reckless abandon, how you've come to expect from him. But then, you know, I think I have more of an issue with two freshmen saying, I don't want to play in a bowl game because I'm concerned about my redshirt senior season.
Yes, I have an issue with that too. And I think for Franklin, who understands PR so well, for him to do that surprised me, and I think he was sending a bit of a message. All right, Dustin, we're not finished talking about this game. Stick around, we got another segment to go.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.